Good morning.
Morning.
It's always good to be here on a Sunday morning. And like what Joesha say, I have been here for a long time. But nevertheless, I think every season is always different. I think as we stay in course with what God is doing, God is always doing something exciting. Okay, God is always doing something new. Today, as we enter into part two, we're going to talk about this word called stewardship. Stewardship is the kind of ship where... No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, stewardship, we all are familiar with this term stewardship. And the Greek word in the New Testament of this word stewardship is simply what we know, which is manager of a household or a land or a farm, or you manage the household or the land affairs of what you have been entrusted to. And I think sitting here, all of us has been stewards before, right? If you have work in a company or work for someone else, you are a steward of that particular boss or that company. If you have taken care of somebody else's belonging, a car, maybe your friend going overseas, say, hey, can you take care of my car for a couple of days? Or someone going overseas and entrusted you to take care of their pets. Some of you guys have done that before. Someone entrusted you to take care of pets. Or my family has been entrusted to take care of somebody else's turtles before. So the person entrusted us and say he would take back the turtles after 2 weeks, but the 2 weeks became 10 months and became 1 year, so we were a little bit suspicious whether they're entrusted or they're just... But anyway, a good friend of ours, they are sitting here today. Some of you maybe have been entrusted with taking care of somebody else's kids before, okay? So we are familiar with this thing called stewardship. We are entrusted by someone who owns the thing. We are entrusted by people that believe that you can take good care of it. So we are all stewards before. So we never confuse ownership with stewardship. Never have I heard when you entrusted someone with a car and you're traveling for a couple of days and you came back and this person said, oh, by the way, I decided to change the color of your car and I thought that maybe you didn't really like automatic gear, so I changed it to manual gear and I hope you like it. Okay, well, what do you think the friend will feel, right? Obviously not very happy, right? Or instead of a car, maybe somebody has entrusted you to take care of their kids. And after 6 hours, the person come back and pick up their kids and you say, that, oh, you know what? I decided to cut the daughter's hair. I felt that maybe she looked better in short hair, so I cut it off and I dyed the hair a bit green and I kind of just changed the schedule a little bit. I call up the tuition teacher and cancel the class next Monday because I felt that maybe she should get some outdoor. How many of you guys know that parents are not going to be very happy, right? Okay, nobody confuse ownership with stewardship. Nobody before, okay? But yet, when we comes to money and finance, we oftentimes, we have that kind of mixed up. We are stewards. I mean, as we look at the Bible later on, you will see that the Bible is full of verses and passages that talks about that we are stewards of God's properties and God's wealth and God's resources on earth. But oftentimes when it comes to money, wealth and finances, we confuse ownership with stewardship. And stewardship is a big theme in the Bible. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about stewardship and I'm just going to pray. Okay, God, we pray. We thank you that we're here today, that we are excited to hear what it means to be a steward over you who have unlimited resource, over you who have unlimited grace and unlimited wealth and riches, whether it's earthly and heavenly treasures. We are excited to hear what it means to be a good steward of yours, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as we talk about stewardship, and as I look through the scriptures about stewardship, there are three main principles that we can derive from this theme of stewardship. Number one is that we need to remember. We need to remember that God created everything, and God is the one that owns everything. Give you an illustration, and we all have this is mine syndrome. And oftentimes when I buy, whether it's fast food for my kids or when I buy desserts or ice creams for my kids, when I give it to them and they will immediately have this is mine syndrome. They never had that syndrome when it's vegetables. It's only when it comes to ice cream, when it comes to sweets, when it comes to french fries, that when I give it to them and they say, no, don't touch, Coco, this is mine. Okay, it doesn't matter that she didn't pay for it, but this is mine. Or when I give this person the ice cream and my son will tell my daughter, no, you had yours this morning, this is mine. Okay, suddenly the this is mine syndrome came about and they forgot. Okay, they forgot that they didn't buy it, they didn't own it, but it was given to them. And the biggest, greatest illustration is, I remember this, although as a little child, it's kind of cute. You give them the ice cream and you pay for it. And as they're eating, it says, can daddy have one bite? No, this is mine. Okay, it's funny, but if you think about it, we kind of have that kind of syndrome sometimes. As our wealth grows, there are certain needs or there are certain calling, and we become like that little kid. No, this is mine. Okay, this is mine. But we forget. We forget easily. It is true. We don't forget when we don't have much. When we don't have much, it's like, God, would you come into my business, Lord? Would you take over my business? Would you take over my bank account, which is nothing much? But as we have little success, as our successes grow, as our wealth grows, and we slowly forget, we now think that it is I who made this. It is I who come up with the business plan. It is I who work hard for all of this wealth and income and finances. And we kind of forget. But you know, we are not the only one. In the Bible, the Israelites are also very forgetful. There was a story in Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is a story when God has delivered them from the oppression of Egypt. So they were slaves in Egypt, and God, through Moses, delivered the whole nation from Egypt. And they, with their very own eyes, saw miracles after miracles of God. They saw the 10 plagues and how God brought about the 10 plagues into the nation of Egypt so that the heart of Pharaoh can be turned, so that Pharaoh can let them go. They saw with their very own eyes that the Red Sea opened. And they saw with their very own eyes, when they were in the desert on the way to the promised land, God provided day and night bread from heaven. This word called manna. Okay, which is literal translation of Hebrew manna is what is it? Because they wake up one morning and there was bread from heaven. And it says manna because what is it? And it tasted good. And God provided in the evening quails and birds for them to eat meat. With their very own eyes, they saw God led them with a pillar of cloud and a fire by night. And miracles after miracles, and yet they grumble, they complain. They were unbelief, and God got so upset with them, and God says, okay, you guys, this unbelieving generation, you guys will stay here in the wilderness for 40 years. The next generation will come and seize the promised land that I have for you. So this generation, 40 years, they were in the wilderness, and eventually 40 years have passed by, and the new generation came. And this is where the book of Deuteronomy came about. Deuteronomy simply means second law. So Moses had to kind of retell the story to this new generation, because potentially this new generation, they were young when they crossed the Red Sea, or potentially some of them were not even born yet when they was in Egypt. So Moses had to retell that story. That's why I call it Deuteronomy, second law. And Moses retell this generation of faithfulness of God. And in verse 2, it starts with remember, remember, remember. It was remember here. He went back, tell the faithfulness of God. It ended in verse 18, again with the word remember. And he says this, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. The very same phrase that we say, it is I who produce it. It is my talents, it is my hard work, it is my strategic thinking. But verse 17, Moses was telling them, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms His covenant. You know, our ability to produce wealth confirms the covenant that we have with God. That because we have a relationship with God, God has given us that ability to produce wealth, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. So the first principle that we want to draw from stewardship is we start off by remembering. Remember, okay? Remember it is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. And God has unlimited resource. He has unlimited wisdom. And He gives us that ability. And remember that God owns everything and He created everything. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the stewardship starts from the first verse in the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything that goes with it. So the first verse tells us who created the world and who owns the world. Plenty of scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 10, behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heavens of heavens, and the earth with all that is in it. He didn't say the earth with all except that is in Jerome's bank account that is in it. He says everything belongs to the Lord. And New Testament, all throughout scriptures, New Testament, Paul was saying that by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. So everything. God created and owned everything, including our wealth. Okay, today, this series, we are specifically talking about money, wealth, and possession. We're not talking about time, we're not talking about resource, but although stewardship applies there. But we must remember, every time you receive your salary, your bonus, your dividend, your payout, your profit sharing, pocket money, allowance, whatever that you receive, remember. Okay, remember, it keeps us humble. It keeps us in the right track. Keep us in the right position so that we do not confuse, that we do not say what the Israelites say, that it is I, my power and my strength and of my hands that produce this wealth. We will remember that it is God who gives us the ability to produce wealth so that we do not confuse ownership with stewardship. Second thing, responsible. Stewardship means we need to be responsible because we are accountable. We are accountable to what we have been entrusted to. Right? If you work for a company, if you work for a business person, you are accountable with what has been given to you, with the task that has been entrusted to you, right? When you are being entrusted to take care of your friend's possession, the pets, the kids, the car, and you are responsible for it, right? You're responsible to do what they are supposed to do. Remember to feed your pet 3 times a day. You can't like it today, I don't feel like feeding it. Maybe tomorrow, if I feel like it, I'll feed the cat. Okay, you can't, right? Because otherwise, when your friend comes back, you have to be responsible. You have to be accountable. And some of us, when we say that we are responsible because we are accountable, some of us, it could be an exciting thought. Some of us, it could be a scary thought. I don't know how you feel about the influence and money and possession and wealth that God has entrusted to you at the time. I don't know whether you feel excited, you feel scary, or you have no feeling. I don't know. But one day we will be asked, when we stand before God one day, we will be asked, what have we done with the money, wealth, position, talents, and the influence that God has given us? And we will have to give an account. That's what the Bible says. Colossians 3. This is one of my favorite verses. One of my life verses is whatever you do, okay, whatever you do, whether you are a student, whether you are a homemaker, whether you are a lawyer, whether you are a business person, you are a father, you are a mother, you are a helper, you are a waiter, whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for human masters. Although God has given human masters over you, but ultimately, you're working for the Lord. I remember Pastor Stephen, a long time ago, before even this church was started, I was a new Christian, and we were potentially still in Oakland Road Church, those of us who are from that era. I remember the life group used to come and do cleaning, right? We used to clean the church, and we will schedule different life groups for different weeks to come and clean the church. And I remember there was one conversation whereby, and there was one piece of trash, the row of chairs next to the wall by the end. And it's a little bit hard to get in. And I think one person was saying, no worries lah. No one can see it, man. Okay, no one can see that. And Pastor Stephen says, no one can see it, but God sees it. And then he went down and he picked it up. And I remember that conversation. It struck that image and the conversation struck me. I wasn't that person who are, okay, by the way, just in case. But that conversation struck me that, wow, his life group was entrusted to clean up that place. Nobody can see. But he says, the Lord can see. So whatever you do, okay, whether no one was watching, whether you're supposed to do something which you're entrusted to do and you know it, but if you don't do it, nobody will notice. But God will. Okay, so do with all your heart. Romans 14, there are many scriptures that talk about. Romans 14 says, so then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Each and every one of us will stand before God and present. Personally, I'm so inspired by Pastor Rick Warren. If you don't know him, he is a pastor of one of the largest church center back in US, but he is famous for his book called Purpose Driven Life, which was potentially the best-selling book maybe about 15, 18 years ago. And that time, maybe 5, 10 years ago, sold about 30 million copies. And his book has been translated the most, besides the Bible, the most into other language. The book was a phenomenon when it first came out, 15, 18 years ago, and I was hearing him in a conference one day. 2005, he was named by Time Magazine as one of the 100 most influential people in the world. He was named in 2005, America Top 25 Leaders in October 2005. And why I was inspired by him is that of the way he was responsible for the wealth that he has received. And in the interview, he was talking about how really the book was God's idea and how he was started writing it. And as the book becomes a worldwide phenomenon, and quite immediately, this is in 2005, quite immediately, his quarterly royalty of the book alone was $9 million. Okay, this is very early. This is 2005, not even from 2005 to 2020, 2019, okay? So very early on, his book royalties alone was every quarter he will receive $9 million. And in the interview, he was saying that he was talking to God. He said, so God, okay, God, I don't need all that money. I don't need $9 million a quarter. Okay? And some of you say, then give me a, huh? Right? He went back to ask the Lord, what do you want to do with this? He says, I don't need so much money. I'm a pastor. And I certainly don't believe that God has given me all this money for my fame or my ego. So he and a wife sat down and they decided a few things. Number one, they decided that they would not change their lifestyle for one bit, no matter how much money came in. So he was still at the time driving. He says, I'm still driving my Ford pickup truck. And I'm still staying in my same house. I didn't have a guest house. I didn't have a beach house. I didn't have a yacht, he says. He says, I still live in the same house. I lived for 15 years and I still drive the same truck. And we decided that we're not going to use the money for ourselves. And secondly, what he and a wife decided that they will stop is that they will stop taking salary from the church. He has been a pastor for the past 25 years before the book came about, and he decided to pay back for the past 25 years the salary of the church, because he believed that, you know, nobody go into the ministry because of money, right? The easier way to make money than going into ministry, according to his interview. And right after he do that, the following 2 weeks, Time and Newsweek came and did an interview to him and asked him, what is the salary that the church is giving you? And he was very humble to can say that, no, now I no longer draw that salary. And the third thing that they did, he and a wife, they become reverse tither. They reverse tithe. Reverse tithe doesn't mean that now church is the one that tithing to you, okay? Just in case. Just in case some of you go out and say, oh, my pastor today talk about reverse tithe, the church is... Anyway. So they become reverse tithe, means that with all the money that's coming in, they are tithing 90% instead of 10%. Okay, they are giving 90% to the church, to the different causes that God has put into their hearts. And later you see that their church and they themselves has set up a big, big work for AIDS, especially in the African nation, and how they have done a great work there. Okay, so that was the cause that God has put in their hearts. So he says that when they first got married, they tithe 10%. As their income goes up, they increase 1% every year. But as this book and the wealth that comes in, and suddenly they say that let's do reverse tithing. And even with reverse tithing, they say that they have more than enough. And how many guys know that? I believe that God was able to do such great and mighty work because he was responsible. He was responsible for the wealth and the influence and the fame that God's going to bring on him. And because he was a good steward, he understood. He didn't confuse ownership with stewardship. He didn't confuse that when the money comes in, wow, this $9 million every single quarter is mine. What should I do with it? He didn't confuse that. But instead, he allows to be a channel for that resource, for the wealth to be channeled towards the different places that he felt God has entrusted him to do. And he says, before the whole Purpose-Driven Life book came about, he says, as they increase their giving year on year, he says that it breaks the grip of materialism in his life, he felt, according to the interview. Every time I give, it makes me feel like I'm closer to God. Okay, because it breaks that grip of money over our lives. Every time I give, my heart grows bigger. And now we give 90% away and we live on a tent. And he says, that's actually the easy part. giving the 90% away. The more difficult part is thinking about where to give that 90%. It's more difficult. And he says, I do that. It's easy for me because I am storing up treasures in heaven. That was his interview back in 2005. And I think I saw him in a conference maybe in 2006, and he was talking about that lifestyle, and it inspired me, it encouraged me so much. And I'm sure there's many examples, whether big or small, it doesn't matter. You don't have to earn $9 million per quarter. You can, okay, whatever amount, you can be a responsible steward for God to work, because at the end of the day, all of us, we are accountable, okay? Number three, reward. Okay, first is remember, second is responsible, and thirdly is reward. God promised that He will reward accordingly to what we have done. If we are faithful with the little things, God will add to you and put you in charge of many things. And there's this famous parable in the Bible. Parable simply means that Jesus used a story to illustrate His message. And the story may not be necessarily a real example, but it's a story to illustrate and a lesson. The parable of the bag of gold, or the parable of the talents, this is found in Matthew 25. Some of you know the story. It talks about a rich owner decided to go away on a business trip, and he entrusted 3 servants. And to the first servant, he entrusted 10 bags of gold. Second servant is being entrusted 5 bags of gold. And the third servant is being entrusted 1 bag of gold. He went away, and when he came back, the first servant with 10 of gold, he says, Master, look at what I've done. The guy was very excited. I've invested this, I've bought this, and I invested it. And now the 10 bags of gold has grown to be 20 bags of gold. And the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come, share the joy of happiness of your master. Similarly, for the second guy, 5 bags of gold, he invested, he worked hard, he was responsible, he grew it to another 5 bags of gold. Again, same response, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share the joy of master's happiness. And for the third one, he says, Master, I don't know what you're going to want me to do with it, so I dug a hole and hid the bag of gold. And here you are, here's your 1 bag. And he returns the original 1 bag of gold to the master. And I think from a natural point of view, we may think that that's not too bad, right? At least you didn't lose money. You took care of it, kind of. You kind of ensured that nobody stole it. You kind of ensured that it's not missing. Oh, it's not too bad. But the response of the master was so furious. The master was so angry and says, what? You lazy. He called him, you lazy, wicked servant. He did not do anything. And he took his 1 bag of gold. From now on, you are not faithful to this. He took this and he gave it to the other servant who is responsible. So it kind of point back to us, that it illustrates to us that we have this one life that God has given us to live. If you want to think about it, actually, the life that we live is actually a loan from God. And one day we give back that life, right? And one day we give back that life and we are accountable to God. And not just accountable to God, that God will reward accordingly to what we have done, whether it's on earth or in heaven. Let me read you a scripture. That was the response. Reward according to what we do. This is the summary, the ending of the parable. His master replied, okay, this is the first two. Servant, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So the question is that, have we been faithful with the little things that God has given us in the area of money, finance, possession, the resources that God has given you? It's not just about money, but it's the possession that you have. Have you been faithful to use it in a way that brings joy and happiness to the master, right? And if you have done it, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share the joy of God. And God says, when you are faithful with little things, I will put you in charge of many things. And I really believe this principle. Whatever you have, okay? And God will continue. And it's exciting because as you are being proven that God can trust you, God will trust you even more. The last chapter of the Bible, okay? This gives me goosebumps when I was doing research for this message. The first chapter in the Bible talks about stewardship, when God created heavens and earth, created the world, and entrusted human to take care of it. The last chapter, okay, the last chapter of the Bible is Revelation. Chapter 22 is the last chapter. This is what Apostle John wrote, talking about Jesus. He says, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Okay, so this gave me goosebumps. It's like, wow. Okay, and the reward that God is eternal reward. Yes, God may give you earthly reward, but that's going to be temporal. But at the end of the day, it's a heavenly treasure that we want to store up, like what we learned last week. And this is what we all have to wrestle with. Okay, are we storing up treasures in heaven? Because I want to hear that word when at the end of my life, I can go before God and God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come and share the master's happiness. And there was this verse in Corinthians, it's not up there. It talks about all of us are building something with our lives, right? He says, I lay a foundation as a wise builder. He says, if anyone build this foundation using gold, silver, and costly stone, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Okay, so whatever that you build, this author is saying that whether it will last eternally or it will not, the day it will show. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. You haven't been in the team building whereby, you know, they gather you in groups and they give you a bunch of straws. Okay, not very environmental friendly, but they give you a bunch of straws and a few strings and a few rubber band and a few things, and maybe they give you an egg to kind of build something that protects the egg, and then they're going to drop the egg from the third floor, and you have half an hour to build that structure, whatever it is. So every team will kind of build a straw, and it helps if you have engineers in your group, and you will kind of have that little tape with limited resources. You kind of build that protection, or whatever you call it, to protect the egg, so that at the end of the game, they will send one representative to the third floor of the building and everybody will be gathered at the ground floor and just waiting. Okay, group one, your turn. And they will drop the thing from the third floor and poof, and all of them go in and open up and see whether the egg breaks or not. Okay, obviously the goal is to protect the egg. Okay, so it's kind of like what the passage is saying. That at the end of the day, our work will be revealed through fire. Then the fire will test the quality of each person's work. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be safe, even though as only the one escaping through the flames. So it talks about the earthly and heavenly reward that we are building for ourselves. That I want to encourage all of us as God entrusted every single one of you, every single one of us, with resource, influence, with wealth, money, possession. And I pray that all of you will kind of think through that, you know what, I want what I build on earth. At the end of the day, when that egg is being dropped from the third floor, when my time comes, that my work on earth will be passed through the test of fire. I want what I do to be able to stand firm and to be able to bring through to the next part of my life in heaven, because it will pass the test of fire. I don't want everything just to be burnt up. That means it will all only be earthly treasures that we cannot bring forward. There's no treasures on the other side. So today, even as we end, remember responsible and reward. So if you remember these three things, we will begin to understand, we'll begin to grasp what it means to be a good steward of what God has given us. Do not confuse ownership with stewardship. God, we thank you. God, we are excited. We thank you, God. We want to firstly remember what you have given us. In your own ways, why don't you acknowledge? You begin to thank God. You begin to be thankful to God with the job that you have, with the income that you get, with the opportunities that you get, with in the influence, the networks, that bonus, that commission, that passive income, that whatever that God has been blessed you with. I want you to first begin to acknowledge and thank God for it. Some of us, I felt that you are just like, as if you are holding on to that. I want to encourage you to let it go. Do not confuse ownership
with stewardship.
You let go of that, God will begin to see that this is a servant that I can entrust more with. God, as we let go of that hands, as we let go of that heart, as we let go of that control, possession over those things, of our wealth, possessions, networks, opportunities, the things that we have been built for a long time. God, as we let that go, we are acknowledging that we are stewards. We are not owners, Lord. God, we want to remember, Lord, that you created and you own everything. Then why would we want to put our trust in wealth when we can put our trust in you who give us the ability to produce that wealth in the first place? God, we want to remember. Second, God, we want to be responsible. Help us. You begin to give us creative minds. You begin to give us the elements and the ingredients for us to grow even further. That some of us, 5 talents, 10 talents, doesn't matter. 1 talent, it doesn't matter. God, we want to be responsible to grow it. For some of us, talents, God, we want to work hard in those talents. For some of us, the ability to produce wealth, we want to work hard to be able to produce that wealth, to be a channel. Some of us, God has given us ideas. But I pray, God, Lord, that we will be responsible for the idea, that we will take, we will work, we will find out, we will do research. We will nurture the idea so that you can bring about the idea into fruition. Some of us, you have given us a burden. But today, even as we talk about money, wealth, and possession, God, we are saying, God, Lord, we want to be responsible for the money, wealth, and possession that you have given us. Help us grow it. Help us channel it. And finally, God, Lord, the reward. God, I pray, God, Lord, that we will, at the end of our lives, God, Lord, that the work of our hands in this life, I pray it will pass the test of fire. That it will not just be only us who will pass, but us and the works that we have done. The legacy, the influence, and the goodness, the relationships, that will pass the fire, God. We are excited. For some of us here, God, Lord, that God's going to bless. God's going to just bless you with wealth, influence. I want to pray, God, if standing here, every eye closed, you just felt that God has given you that blessing to be able to produce wealth and influence people, would you just raise your hands? I'm just going to pray for you, okay? Wherever you are, just raise your hands. God, you see these hands. Lord, whatever stage, I pray, God, as we lift up that hands, we are saying, God, that we acknowledge that you are the creator. You are the ultimate person who will weave things together. I pray for all these hands, God, Lord, that we are excited with the wealth, influence that you are bringing to these people. And I pray that our hearts will be ready. Our hearts will be ready, and we will not think like what the Israelites think, that it is our power and the strength of my hands that produce it, but it is you who give us that ability. God, you see all these strengths. I pray that even as they are open up to become channels of your blessings to flow into their lives, and they will also be a vessel to be able to extend your kingdom into whatever world that they are in. And some of you, those who are hand raised, I know that God, you already know that God has put you in that place because you have a few people in your mind that you're seeing that they in that situation that you know that they need God. And those are the people that I felt that God wants you to start with. God, we thank you for this series. We just pray, God, Lord, that we are committing ourselves to be a steward of what you can do through us. As a church, even as we come together this Tuesday to listen to the prophetic word that Pastor Jim LeFoon have for our Every Nation movement in Malaysia, for our nation of Malaysia, and for our Damansara Church. God, we want to be a steward over what you have entrusted us in this generation. God, as a church, we want to be a good steward of what you have entrusted and what you have called us to do and to be. God, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Give God a call. Hallelujah.